Can you guys just give that? I mean, isn't that awesome? Hey, listen, if you have a copy of the scriptures, you can type to or turn to Romans. Hey, buddy, that's my son. So he got it. If you got a copy of the scriptures, you can type to or turn to Romans chapter 6. And again, I just want to say happy Veterans Day. Thank you to those of you who have served. I mean, what an honor it is to celebrate you and honor you today. Today's exciting day. We got baptisms here in this service. We had them in our earlier services. And another thing that I'm excited about is Trey Powell and his wife Carly are here. At the end of our service today, we're going to have a congregational vote to affirm Trey as our next discipleship and groups pastor here at Calvary. And so this is a great day. This is a really great day to be here at Calvary. And so I want to begin our time just by pausing for a moment and praying the prayer that Jesus told us to pray. So would you pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, as many of you, if you know my story, you know that we used to live in New York City. And the church that I pastored when we lived in New York, right there in Brooklyn, we didn't have a building of our own, so we rented a high school auditorium on Sunday mornings. And so we worshiped in a high school auditorium, which was fun and cool for some reasons and a bummer in other reasons. And one of the reasons it was a bummer is because they wouldn't let us baptize people in the school auditorium. I don't know why they didn't want us bringing a swimming pool into the school auditorium, but they wouldn't let us do that. And so what we would always do is we'd worship in the mornings at the high school auditorium, and then we would tell our church, we'd say, hey, worship is not over, but we are going to walk 4 blocks south to our office space. We had a little storefront office space right there on 4th Avenue, and so our whole church would be like this big processional out of the high school down to our storefront office space. And it was awesome because we'd cram about 30 or 40 people into our office, and then we'd have another 30, 40, 50 people outside on the sidewalk viewing in through the window. You can see people in there, but there's probably another, that same amount out there kind of staring in the window. And it was awesome because we'd baptize, we'd celebrate, and people be going crazy, all because somebody's getting dunked in a cheap inflatable pool, right there on 4th Avenue in Brooklyn. And I loved it. I loved how public it was. People could walk by and they could see it, and they're like, what in the world are those crazy people doing? What is that? In fact, one day, it was a Monday morning, and I went to, there was a bagel shop called Steve's Bagels right next to our office space right there. And I went to Steve's Bagels that Monday morning and to get my daily, breakfast, which was bacon, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup, right? Please and thank you. If you know Brooklyn, you know Brooklyn, right? And the girl at the counter, she's like, hey, I gotta ask. She was like, what were you guys doing yesterday? What were y'all celebrating yesterday? And she's like, why was there a kiddie pool inside of your office? She's like, what in the world was going on? And I said, we had baptisms. And she said, what does that mean? And I said, I'm glad you asked. And right there in the bagel shop, I shared with her how baptism is this beautiful picture of what new life as a follower of Jesus looks like. That through the grace of Christ, the old me has died, I have been buried with him, and I have been raised to new life. You see, baptism communicates the essence of Christianity better than almost anything else. I've heard it said like this, that baptism preaches the gospel to our eyes. You know, songs preach the gospel to our hearts, sermons preach the gospel to our ears, the Lord's Supper preaches the gospel to our taste buds, and baptism preaches the gospel to our eyes in a way that is simple, powerful, and unforgettable. See, baptism tells a story through water form of what Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. And so I want to talk about baptism today, which is fitting because we've had so many baptisms today. You see, we've been in a series called Next Steps. Started it last week, and it's about everyone has a next step in following Jesus. And I believe that for many of you here, you've placed your faith in Jesus, you've given your lives to Christ, but your next step in your spiritual journey is to be baptized. And I know when you talk about baptism, it raises all sorts of theological questions like, you know, do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? Or why do some churches dunk and some sprinkle? Like, why is that? And what about babies? Some churches baptize babies and some churches don't. And should we? And what do we do? And those are all really good questions. And I believe Scripture speaks to all of them. But underneath that is a deeper question, and it's this: what does baptism actually signify? What is it telling us? Because once we know what baptism is, then we can make sense of the other questions. And Romans 6, Paul gives a very clear answer for what baptism is, very succinctly, very simply. And we're looking at two verses today, and this is what we're going to dig into. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." So this morning, what I want to try to prove to you is that baptism is more than just a ritual. It's more than just something that some people do at church. It is a declaration of the gospel of Jesus. It is a visible sermon that says to everyone watching, I belong to Jesus. I've died with him, I've been raised with him, and I am walking in new life with him. And so what I'm going to do, break it down, I'm going to give you four truths today that I want you to learn to know about baptism. Now, there's an infinite number of truths that we can learn about baptism. I could preach for 2.5 hours if we wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just giving you four. But the first one I want to give you today is this. Number one, truth number one, baptism is a command. All right? So the first truth about baptism is that it is commanded by Jesus. It's not suggested by Jesus. It's not, Jesus doesn't give us an option. In fact, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which we read every week, Jesus says that we are to make disciples of all nations. So make a disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. So right there in between what it means to be a disciple and to obey all that Jesus commands is baptism. And what Jesus is saying there is that baptism is an integral part of what it means to be his disciple. And I'll put it like this. And I'll just kind of throw this out there. You cannot obey all that Jesus taught and not be baptized. That is what Jesus teaches. In fact, when we talk about next steps, baptism has historically been understood to be the first step is we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, but then the very first step, once we are followers of Jesus, it's always been understood that the first step of obedience is to be baptized. It's the first act of obedience in the life of a Christian. And throughout the New Testament, the writers of Scripture often place repentance and faith right there with baptism. And so Acts 2, verse 38, it says, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus." These things go together: repentance, belief, and faith, baptism, almost synonymously. Paul says in our text right here, Romans 6, verse 3, he says, "Do you not know that all of us..." Now, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Rome, and he's talking to a local church, and he makes an assumption that everyone in the church has been baptized. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ? And what Paul, I believe, is saying is that the thought of an unbaptized Christian was actually unthinkable in the early church. That somebody could be a Christian and not be baptized was unthinkable in the early church. Now, that raises a question then. Many people often ask, are you saying then that baptism saves us? Some people will say, you must be baptized to be saved. People will ask the question, they'll say, do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? Or somebody will say, can you be a Christian and not be baptized? And when I hear this question, I don't jump right into an answer immediately. I always want to know why they're asking it. Some people, there are sincere reasons to ask this question. Some people say, well, I met somebody on campus and they said that if I'm not baptized, then I'm not a true follower of Jesus. Or somebody will say, you know what? I had a family member that they loved Jesus and I mean, they gave their lives to Jesus, but they never were baptized. What's the state of their soul? You know, is it? And if somebody's asking with that posture, that's a really good question. And that's a really good question. And I would answer it like this, very simply. I would say, look to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, he's right there hanging beside Jesus, being crucified with Jesus. And he placed his faith in Jesus that day. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. That thief on the cross, he never was baptized. He never went to a Bible study. He never did any of the things that we associate with church. And it says that when he breathed his last breath, when his eyes opened in eternity, he saw Jesus face to face. So if somebody says, you know, can you be a Christian and not be baptized? You know, if it's a sincere question, I would point them to the thief on the cross. But then there are some people that are asking this question, and I'm like, why are you asking this question? Sometimes people ask this question in order to justify not being baptized. They're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And that's actually a very concerning question. And I would say to you, want to obey Jesus. Why would you want to do that? The best way I've understood this question is like this. Baptism is like a wedding ring, all right? Can you be married and not wear a wedding band? Yes, but we're really suspicious of dudes that don't wear their wedding rings, right? You know what I mean? Listen, wives, you know this. If your husband takes his wedding ring off every time he goes on a business trip, you have a right to ask why. Fellas, if your wife, you know, goes out for a night on the town with the ladies and leaves the rings on the, you know, the bedside table, you've got a right to go, hey, what's up with that, right? I mean, it is reasonable to ask your spouse, if you won't wear the ring, can I trust that you are actually committed to me? Can I trust that if you won't be faithful in this little area, will you be faithful to me in all these other areas? And I believe the same goes for a Christian who refuses to take the step of obedience in baptism. It's like, why haven't you? And if you can't obey this very simple command, what makes us then think that you'll be faithful to Jesus when he calls you to something more difficult? See, a wedding ring doesn't make you married or not married. Your vow is what makes you married, but your wedding ring is a symbol of the commitment that you've made, and baptism is a symbol of the commitment that you've made to Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. So this is it with baptism. We often say it this way. Baptism is an outward sign for the world to see of an inward reality of what you've experienced in Christ. And so we take the step of baptism as a way, one, of being obedient to what Jesus has commanded, but also as a way for others to see what Jesus has done in our lives. So that's the first truth. Number one, baptism is a command. The second is this. Baptism is a death. You are dying to the old life. In Romans 6, verse 3, Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And that word baptized in the Greek is the word baptizo, which literally means to immerse or to submerge. In ancient literature, that word has been used to describe a ship that is sunk to the bottom of the sea. And it gives the image of a watery grave, a complete burial in the water. And this right here, and I'll just be honest with you, you came in, when you walked in this morning, you saw the sign. It says Calvary Baptist Church, all right? So I'm teaching this from the perspective of a Baptist, all right? We hold to something called believer's baptism by immersion. We don't sprinkle when we baptize, we don't pour, we dunk, okay? Why do we do that? All right, and listen, no disrespect. Listen, nothing but love and respect to my brothers and sisters in Christ of other denominations that interpret this differently. But I believe sprinkling and pouring fails to capture the full weight of meaning of what baptism is meant to represent. Sprinkling gets you wet and it symbolizes, you know, the washing of sins, and that's beautiful. But immersion declares the old me has died and a new me is being risen in its place. See, baptism is meant to symbolize a death and a burial. That's why Paul says we were baptized into his death. Now, I've heard it said like this, baptism is a funeral where you attend your own death, all right? And you're like, what does that mean? Here's what that means. If we had time today, we baptized 5 people today. And I wish we could let every person come up here and have the microphone and tell their story. And if they had that microphone, they would all tell something like this. I was trying to live life in my own strength. I was trying to live life in my own power. I was being led by my own whims. I was being led by my own desires. I was trying to build my life on some identity that turned out to be fragile, like grades or achievements or relationships or status or whatever. And it wasn't working. And I came to realize that the more I tried to control my life, the more I made a mess of it. And I came to realize that the more I tried to manipulate my life, the more it actually led me further away from the longings of my own heart. I was a slave to what people thought of me. I was a slave to my own selfishness. I was a slave to my own temptations. And then somebody shared the message of Jesus with me. Somebody came into my life at just the right time and told me about the invitation of Christ that says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And I said to Jesus, Jesus, my way isn't working, so here's my life. The old me is dead. That's what baptism symbolizes. The old me has died. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. Jesus died for me. Now I will die to him. And this leads us to our next truth. That's our truth number two, is that baptism is a death. But the next truth is that the moment you die to Christ is the moment you begin to truly live. We have been buried with Christ, but we also have been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's truth number three. Baptism is a resurrection. It says in verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. See, baptism tells a story. It's like the fastest story ever, you know, but it tells a beautiful story. It's like when we come to Christ, this is our story. We lay our old lives down. We place our faith and our trust in Jesus, and we believe in him to forgive us of our sins and to give us new life. And baptism demonstrates this. We are buried into the water. And what happens in that water? What's symbolized by the water? We're washed. We're made clean. Our sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. There is a fountain, we sing, filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And then we're raised to life. See, when you are baptized and when you come up out of the water, you are preaching a visual sermon. You're like, I didn't know I was a preacher when I was baptized. It's like you are preaching a visual sermon. And what you're saying to everyone who's watching is, I am not who I used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we're baptized and you come up out of the water, you're saying, this is the new me. And this is why I love, you know, some of our baptisms, we take pictures and I always love looking at the pictures. And a couple weeks ago, a guy comes out and just like double fist pump, you know, just like he's fired up. And then he turns around and gives me the biggest hug. And I was soaked the whole 11:15 service. I mean, my undershirt was soaking wet. It was so uncomfortable. But I was like, I'll be uncomfortable every week if it means people are getting baptized. But he was pumped and everybody's cheering. Everybody's going crazy. His fraternity brothers are here. They're losing their minds. It's like, why? Because he's declaring the same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives in me. He's declaring that the same spirit that rolled away the stone and the same spirit that breathed life into the dead body of Jesus is now breathing life into my soul. And I'm no longer defined by my past. I'm no longer condemned by my shame and guilt. And I'm no longer chained to my sin. But I have been raised to walk in the newness of life. And I am a new person. This is why we clap, this is why we cheer, this is why we go crazy, all because we're celebrating that someone was declaring that they were once lost, but now they've been found. They were once blind, but now they can see. They were once dead, but by the grace of Christ and by the power of his blood, they have been made alive. And y'all, that's why here at Calvary, again, we practice what's called believer's baptism by immersion. Believer's baptism, meaning here at Calvary, we choose not to baptize infants. Again, all love, respect, and honor to other denominations that interpret this differently. But our conviction is that only someone who has experienced the new birth of Christ can enjoy what it means to be raised to new life. The scriptures talk all the time. They say, remember your baptism. It's like, how can you remember it if you can't remember it? And so only someone who's been born again can tell the story that they've been born again. This is why we choose to baptize believers only. And some of you, you were baptized as an infant, and you're like, was that wrong? It's like, no, that wasn't wrong. That's beautiful in so many ways. It's a sign of your parents' faith. And you should thank God that your parents believe in faith in Jesus and that they wanted that for you. And that's a gift to have parents that believe. But their hope on that day was that one day you would give your life to Christ. And maybe you're wondering, you're here, you're like, you know, I was baptized as an infant. It's like, but now, like, God's got a hold of my life. I've given my life to Jesus. Like, should I be baptized again as an adult? on the other side of my conversion? And I would say, again, I'm a Baptist preacher preaching this, right? This is my perspective. I would say, yes, you should. Because that is now an indication of your faith. Thank God for your parents' faith. But this is not, baptism is a, believer's baptism is an opportunity to celebrate your own faith. So you can look at being baptized, again, as of your own choosing as a fulfillment of what your parents intended for you. They were hoping that you would display faith in Christ, and now you do, and you can celebrate that by being baptized. So baptism is a symbol of death, burial, cleansing, and resurrection to new life. See, it's telling a story. Truth number four, baptism is a welcome into the body of Christ. So this is a truth that really isn't talked about in baptism as much these days as I believe it should be. I think sometimes in our culture, we live in a hyper-individualized culture that we make faith all about me and Jesus. And it's like, if somebody else wants to look on, that's fine, but really it's just me and him. But what we need, what we see in the scriptures is that baptism is not an individual event. It's always a communal event. See, baptism is both an individual's public profession of faith, but it's also an affirmation from the church that you have made a profession of faith. And when someone is baptized in a local church, not only are they making a public profession, I believe in Jesus, the church is then saying to that person, we have watched your life, we've seen the credibility of your testimony, and we affirm your profession of faith, and that's why we celebrate with you. And not only that, if it was understood in the New Testament that when you're baptized, you're not just baptized to demonstrate your own faith, but your baptism was actually a welcoming into the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is the local church. If you read through the New Testament, when the word church is used, almost always it's speaking of a local church in a specific place with specific leaders. It's not talking about like general, like, you know, the church at large. Like it's, baptism was understood to be an ordinance throughout the New Testament of the local church. In Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches the gospel, and he says, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And you're like, okay, they received the word that was preached, they were baptized, and then they were added. You're like, what were they added to? Where were they added? The next verse tells us, the local church. The next verse is where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's their pastors, the fellowship, that's church community, the breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and prayers, all right? This is the local church, and here's why I make this point. Because we live in such a hyper-individualized culture that we fail to often see the beauty, the importance, and the significance of the local church in our spiritual journeys. And so you'll hear stories, I hear this all the time, of stories of private baptisms. Or people, it's like, I got baptized with a group of friends and we went on vacation. Or it's like, I got baptized at a worship conference that wasn't connected with the local church and I just kind of got baptized rather than the local church. Now I say this, I'm not casting stones. Listen, if you're here and you got baptized, private baptism, other sort of things, listen, grace, grace, grace. And I'm not casting stones here. I have my own experience with this. When I was in college, I was the chaplain of my fraternity. And several guys during that time, I used that opportunity. I was sharing the gospel with my peers, and several of my fraternity brothers came to faith in Jesus. And so what we would do is I'd lead them to Christ, and then after our chapter meetings, we'd go to the aquatic center on campus, and I'd baptize them. It's like, I wasn't a pastor. We weren't connected to a local church. We just did it, right? And I look back on that, and I'm like, I think God delighted in seeing 20-year-old dudes doing our best to be faithful, to live out, you know, the commands of Jesus. And God affirms those baptisms and accepts those baptisms. And so if you were baptized in some way outside of a local church, there is grace, God accepts that. But here's the thing, as I get older and as I study the scriptures, I realize that God gave the ordinances to the local church for a purpose. And that is the ideal that we should be striving for. And so the reason I say that is there's some of you, you're considering baptism. You're like, what if I just did it in my bathtub with my buddies? It's like, the testimony of the scriptures, this is an ordinance of the local church. And so I want to encourage you to strive for the ideal. And for those of you who've been baptized other ways where the ideal is lacking, grace abounds. But historically, baptism has been the step, not just the first step of following Jesus, but the first step into membership of a local body. You're being baptized into the body of Christ. And I'll tell you why this is, I think this is so beautiful and important. Because several years ago, I was a college pastor, and there was a girl in our college ministry that she was an international student, and she had traveled from, you know, another part of the world, and she came from another religious background. And while she was in the States, she met Jesus, and Jesus radically transformed her life. And here she is, she's 18 years old, and she's reading the New Testament, and she's like, I think I should be baptized. She's like, I think I should be baptized. And so she's talking, and in her culture, she realized that, you know, in her culture, her family didn't care that she went to a Christian church while she was in the States. They didn't care that she read the Bible. They didn't care that she sang the songs. They didn't care that she went to youth camp or whatever, but the line in the sand for them was baptism. And it was, and she knew, and her fear was that if she were baptized, her family would separate themselves from her, that her family would disown her. And she prayed about it, she wrestled with it, and in the end, she concluded, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. He died for me, and I will trust him with my life. I'll even trust him with my family. And so she gets baptized, and as she's getting baptized, she says to the church, I don't know if it was like a testimony video or she said it publicly, but she tells her story, and she tells her fears. And she says, you know, this is what I'm afraid of. And she's like, when I do this, she's like, this might mark the end of my relationship with my family. And the whole church hears this, and they're kind of weeping. And then the pastor baptizes her into the water. She comes up out of the water. Everybody celebrates, tears streaming in their face. They embrace her. And what happened, though, that day is a picture of the beauty of the body of Christ, the local church. There was a family in the church that day that heard her story, and they already had a relationship with her. They had kind of mentored her. They had worked with her in you know, youth ministry, student ministry and all this. And they essentially said to her, they said, we want to welcome you into our family. They said, if your parents disown you, you have a home with us. We'll pay your school tuition. We'll pay your car payment. We'll pay your car insurance. We will treat you as our own daughter. And they did. Now, the good news of that story is that her family back home did not disown her, and she was able to actually share her faith with them. But the reason I tell that story is on the other side of her baptism was a family in the church that was willing to say, whatever it is you're leaving behind, we're there to walk with you. And we're there to make sure that you're not walking alone. See, baptism is not just for you. It's something that we all celebrate together. It is a welcome into the family of God. When you step into the waters of baptism, you're not just identifying with Jesus, you're also identifying with his people. You're saying, I belong to Christ, but you're also saying, I belong to his church. Baptism is not just a declaration of your faith, but it's an invitation into a new community. And it is a declaration that I am no longer alone, that I have brothers and sisters, that I have people who will walk with me, people who will pray with me, people who will pray for me, people who will weep with me, people who will grieve with me, people who will celebrate with me. You are saying, I am a part of a new family, the family of God. And so those are four truths of baptism. And so let me ask you, do you believe, as you read the scriptures, do you believe that Jesus commands his followers to be baptized? And if you read the Gospels and you come to that conclusion, then you ask this question, have you been baptized? And you're like, no. If no, why not? And there's a lot of reasons we don't do it. And I want to encourage everybody here, if you've never taken the first step, the next step of baptism, we want to help you take that step. So you saw, and when you come in you're in the back of the pews, you'll see these Connect with Us cards. If you're like, hey, I want to take the next step of baptism, fill out your name, write it really legibly, all right, so we can actually get in contact with you so we don't get an email bounce back. And then you circle, I'm interested in baptism, and I promise you, somebody from our staff will get in touch with you this week. So you take that card, and as you leave today, put it in these black boxes. All right, others of you, you're like, well, I don't want to wait to fill out a thing. We're going to have a moment. We're going to sing. If you want to come down the aisle and come find me and say, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus and I want to take the next step of baptism, we can get that process started today. And I know some of you, you're like, one of the reasons that's holding you back is you're like, I've been following Jesus for like 15 years. And you're like, if I do it now, it's like, it'll be kind of embarrassing, you know? Like, it's like, I've been following Jesus. And it's like, if I do it now, people think like, why, well, you weren't baptized before, why is that? Can I tell you something? It's never too late to take the next step of obedience. I was talking to Corey, our worship pastor, this week, and he was telling me this beautiful story of his dad's baptism. His dad was baptized as an infant, but then later on in his life, he came to faith in Christ, and he gave his life to Jesus. And But in 2019, his dad was diagnosed with cancer. And that cancer diagnosis, like it does with many people who experience some kind of diagnosis, it makes you just think about your life and your faith. And his dad was thinking about, you know, what it looks like to live out his faith. And he realized that while he had believed in Jesus for most of his life, he had never made that decision to follow Jesus public through baptism. And so 3 years after being diagnosed with cancer, he tells his son, Corey, he says, I want you to baptize me. And Corey said at that point, his cancer had progressed. He had gotten so weak that he could barely stand on his own. He couldn't breathe, couldn't hold his breath. And so Corey walked his dad into the water, and he brought his dad down, and he stopped at the nose and the mouth, right? Remember, the ideal is full immersion, right? But remember, where the ideal is lacking, there's grace, all right? You couldn't submerge a guy wrestling with cancer and COPD, right? So they get his face all just up to the water, and they bring him back up. And Corey said the whole church went crazy, and he's like, I got to hug my dad and pull my dad up out of the water. And everybody celebrated. Listen, it is never too late. Can I promise you, if you take that next step, you're like, I lead a small group and I do all this sort of stuff. It's just like, it'll be weird. We will not judge you. We will celebrate with you. Won't we? Yes, we'll celebrate with you. And every week we end our services by reading Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we say, go and make disciples. And some of you hear that and you're like, ugh, that's what pastors are supposed to do. You're like, I don't have the words. I don't know how to articulate, how to share my faith, and I don't know that stuff. And can I tell you, one of the simplest ways to make disciples is to be baptized. And here's what I mean by that. One of the clearest ways, easiest ways you can share your faith with your family, your friends, your fraternity brothers, your sorority sisters, your teammates, your coworkers, your neighbors, is by being baptized and then inviting them to your baptism service. Because here's the thing, you may invite your neighbor to church 1,000 times. They're like, no, I got better things to do. I got golf and I got to mow the lawn, all that sort of stuff. Listen, if you say, hey, I'm being baptized today and I'd really like for you to be there, and you would be a terrible friend if you don't come watch my baptism. They will come, all right? So they'll actually come if you do that. And then they come to your baptism and you say, hey, after church, we're going to go out to lunch. And then you go to Waffle House and they're like, okay, so what happened? Like, you went in the water, you came up, everybody went crazy. What happened? And you say, I'm glad you asked. I once was walking in my own strength, dead to my sin, weighed down by guilt and shame, enslaved to the temptations that were ensnaring me. But Jesus met me there. And the old me died. And Jesus washed me clean by the power of his blood. And he raised me up by the power of his resurrection. And now I have a new hope, I have a new future, and I have a new family. And the same grace is available to you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the good news of the gospel. Y'all, it's an honor and a privilege to be your pastor, truly. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for the gospel. God, I thank you that you've given us so many creative ways to experience it. You've given us songs so that we can sing it with others. You've given us sermons so that we can hear it with our ears. You've given us the Lord's Supper so that we can taste it with our taste buds. And God, you've given us baptism so we can feel it on our skin and so that we can see it with our eyes. God, thank you that you have communicated the truth of what your Son has done for us in so many ways. And God, I thank you that Jesus came and lived the life we can never live. He died the death we deserve. Took our sin with him into the grave, left our sin there, but he stepped into new life with his resurrected power. And God, we thank you that baptism represents such a beautiful truth, that the old me can pass away and a new me is possible through faith in Jesus our Lord. And so God, I want to pray for 2 different types of people in this room today. God, I want to pray for those in this room who've never given their lives to Jesus. God, I pray that today they would take the first step in following you, that they would say, you know what, I've been trying to do it in my own power, but today I'm handing my life over to you, God. I am dying to myself and believing in faith that you will raise a new me in its place. And so God, I pray for those who have not taken the first step in following Jesus. God, would they have the courage today to take that step? God, I'm praying also for those who they've been converted, they've given their lives to you, but they haven't taken the next step of baptism. God, they've experienced the goodness and the power of the gospel, but they've yet to show it to us. And so God, I pray that you'd give them the courage, Lord, to say yes to that next step, not for their sake, but for ours, so that we can see the power of the gospel on display in their life. So God, I pray those things for folks here in our church. And God, as we stand and as we sing, I pray, God, that you would nudge in somebody's spirit, in their heart, God, to come forward and make that confession and to make that desire known. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Church, would you stand? We're going to sing a song of response. And I know I said you can fill out one of these cards, but I actually want to invite you to come. You know, it's like, man, part of professing faith is stepping out in front of others. And I want to invite you to step out into the aisle, grab a friend, if you're afraid to go on your own, and come down forward. I'm here. Pastor Dan's here. Trey's here. He's not voted in yet, but he'll pray with you. Chris is here. Jonathan's here. We would love to pray with you and help take your next step. If you're here, say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to take the next step in baptism. Would you come today as we sing?